morning. Why don't you stand? I'm sure you'll hear it again, but Merry Christmas. Or as Brother Kellen would say, Merry Christmas, Adam. You'll have to figure that out on your own. My wife had to help me. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's turn our thoughts, our attentions unto Him. Ask Him to meet with us here this morning. Lord Jesus, we love You. It's such an honor to be in Your presence once again among Your people. God, we pray that You would touch our hearts. God, we ask the sweetness of Your presence. God, would just envelop this place. God, that we would know, God, that we are here to celebrate this season in such a special way. God, to acknowledge You. God, we thank You, Lord. We praise You. Ask You to open our hearts and our minds to receive, God, as we bless Your name, as we lift You in praise, God. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
A couple of Christmas carols this morning, and we call them carols mainly because it's been reduced to carolers, but in truth they are hymns, and they were written for Christmas services. And very often you will find strong doctrinal statements embedded in Christmas carols that we should learn to relate to. So think of that while we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to sing just two verses to this, first and second. We're going to sing this morning, and this is also a second verse that we don't sing very often that has a strong doctrinal statement in it. What child is this? What child? Please. verse again. They would go, what lies in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding, the Christians fear for sinners here.
Stand to your feet. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll dispense with the traditional kind of teaching format this morning. Second session will be given to the Christmas program, Christmas for Christ offering, but for this first session, we normally take time to teach, but I'm gonna maybe preach a little bit. But I want us to look at a passage of scripture found in Philippians chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1. I don't know that I have ever read from this passage in regards to a Christmas service, but first time for everything. Philippians chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let me stop here and say, what a world this would be if we all lived according to this. I think one of the things that makes the holiday season so special is that it might be the only time when we as a world or as a society seem to somewhat align our lives with this passage. And I know there's especially for me individually, for us collectively, there's still a long way to go for me to meet all the tenets, if you will, of this passage. But it seems as though during this season there is more of a focus upon this kind of lifestyle of giving of yourselves, of not being vain or not thinking about yourself only, but about thinking of others. And he goes on to say this in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, everybody say form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Notice how the Apostle Paul said he was being in the form of God, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 7 of this passage, for it's there, from there, which I would like to draw the title. It says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Took upon him no reputation, was made in the form of a servant, or took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, the greatest gift wrap ever. The greatest gift wrap ever. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? I love you. God, I thank you for these people who have gathered here this morning, this special morning, when we celebrate the season, God, and pay particular attention, God, to why we do so. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord. I pray the words that you place in my heart and mind, God, would be adequately, God, and with conviction and courage, God, expressed to your people. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I honor you, God. I thank you that we have this day to celebrate you as our Savior. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It was, without doubt, a bright and holy night. For even the celestial bodies in the heavens would signify something special was taking place. If you had the opportunity to be here last Sunday night, we watched a presentation on the Star of Bethlehem, and it so accurately showed us and revealed unto us how that the heavens displayed and showed that something special was taking place. A bright night, a holy night, yes. But a night most likely anything but calm and silent. For Caesar Augustus had decreed that the entire Roman world would be taxed, and therefore the little town of Bethlehem was so full and bustling about that there was no room for an expectant mother about to give birth. Oh, the frustrations that must assail Joseph as he desperately sought a place to provide at least a modicum of comfort for Mary. Turned aside, rejected by his fellow man, Joseph searches for a place, any place. He looks into the eyes of Mary. He sees the distress on her face. The labor pains are intensifying now. The contractions are coming in ever-escalating waves. She is strong, but her body is revealing the time has come and the baby will soon be born. Joseph hurriedly finds shelter. He attempts to make a soft place by gathering some straw and hay together into a makeshift pad for Mary beside a manger. Both scared, both worried. Mary trembling in pain. Joseph probably trembling in fear for his wife and for the baby that's about to be born. Maybe. I don't know, but maybe that as the screams came from Mary's mouth, the skies over the shepherds began to shudder as an angel made its way to earth. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe as the baby breaks forth and Mary feels as though her body is torn in two, the firmament above the shepherds, it parts as with the angel comes a heavenly host. Maybe, I don't know if it happened this way, but maybe as the first cries comes from the lips of little baby Jesus, maybe as he cries out and takes that first breath in this life and the cry comes forth from his little lips, maybe, just maybe, at that same time, the angels above the shepherds begin to praise and sing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I don't know if it all happened that way, but I do know that at that time there is joy to the world. For indeed the Lord has come. Emmanuel, God is now with us, and earth has received her King. The writer Luke said this concerning Mary right after she has the baby Jesus in Luke 2:7, records it this way, and brought her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Gently and carefully she wrapped, protecting his flesh by encircling his body with cloth. She took the time, and we've done the study. I've brought it out before, how that the place most likely where that Mary and Joseph and the baby were was not a stable, but it was more likely it was a cave at the Tower of Migdal, according to the Word of God. And most likely the swaddling clothes that she takes and she wraps little baby Jesus in was the clothes that the shepherds would use. Because you need to understand that at this place, there were special shepherds. They were shepherds that kept sheep for the temple. And these sheep were special sheep because they were sheep without spot and blemish. They were a special breed of sheep. Their genetics were right. And so these shepherds took these ewe lambs to this certain place where they would give birth and where they could be protected. And they would take these swaddling cloths and they would take those little lambs that one day would be used for sacrifice. And they would wrap these little lambs in cloth to protect them and make sure that they were not going to get harmed and that they would not be blemished. And so we see the typology and we understand that what Mary did when she took that little baby Jesus and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Yes, I know it's something that a mother should do, but it was also something that signified not only his entrance into the world as a baby boy, but also foreshadowed his exit as a man, as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. So significant, so special is this day. We call it Christmas. We come together and we celebrate and we give gifts and we do many of the things that we should be doing all year long and have some of the mentalities and the emotions that we should express and the love that should be said all year long. Special. No doubt we should celebrate. We should take time to commemorate. But I want, and I hope you'll understand my reasons why, I want to flash ahead from that time, some 33 years. We don't know exactly how long, but best we can figure it was about 33 years, and now the baby has matured into a man. But not just any man. A man who the Bible says grew in the favor of God and men. One who the Bible also says learned obedience by the things which he suffered. A man that would soon change things forever. His mother, who cried in pain and anguish at his birth, is now at the foot of the cross, crying in pain and anguish for completely different reasons. Little arms she once carefully tucked under the swaddling clothes are now cruelly stretched out on a cross. those little feet with those little toes. And she remembered being so soft and supple and flailing as she tickled them. They're now pinned to a cross by a nail. Those little cheeks, that little forehead that she couldn't keep from kissing are now pierced through with thorns. Cut. They're caked with blood. Just like at his birth, the skies above him shudder. The sun is darkened as the celestial bodies once again show something special is taking place. And as he cries, "It is finished," the Bible says he gives up the ghost. It is preparation day. The eve of Passover. His body needs to come down from the cross. A man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate and begs the body of Jesus. Mark records the happening, and he does so in Mark 15, 43 through 46. And it says, "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. When he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph." This is what Joseph did. He brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. Wrapped at his birth, wrapped at his death. Wrapped in fine linen cloth and protected. Just as Mary gently and carefully wrapped the body of baby Jesus upon his earth, Joseph of Arimathea gently and carefully wraps the body of Jesus upon his death. Though their wrapping of the body of Jesus at his birth and death are noteworthy, and while the revelation and symbology of these is beautiful and could be the focus of this message, they are not. There's a greater wrapping that took place. A wrapping not done by human hand. A wrapping that could only be done by the hand of God. A wrapping that reveals so much about the God we serve and His gift to all of mankind. It is the greatest gift wrap of all. What God incarnate did for you and I is so special. It's so significant. It is the greatest gift wrap of all. However, in order for someone to grasp the significance of these statements, we must go back. All the way back. All the way back to the beginning, to the first Adam. When God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the Bible says man became a living soul, wrapped in flesh. A fully functional, intellectual, independent, able to till the soil, be fruitful and multiply kind of man. Think about it. God created Adam from the dust of the ground. He did not create him as a little baby. He created him as a man. Fully functional, probably in the prime of life. One who was able to do those things. One who was evidently able to communicate. Who knew some sort of language. Who named the animals. Who spent all the... And he dressed the garden. And he kept it. And he tilled the soil. He did all those things. A fully functional man wrapped in the flesh that God had given unto him. Special for sure. A son of God for sure. When God decided to manifest himself in flesh, he did so all the way in the womb of a woman. Don't let that escape. Don't let that understanding get away from us. The firstborn of every creature came conceived as a child of the Holy Ghost, confined within the womb of Mary. Dependent upon the care of his mother. Spitting up and soiling his swaddling clothes. God incarnate made himself of no reputation. I don't mean to be demeaning, but the lowest of human life form he came as, a baby, completely dependent upon his mother. He was made in the likeness of men, a little baby. Eyes adjusting to define the features of those around him. Ears adjusting to the sounds and words which he heard. Transitioning from mom's milk to soft foods. Rolling onto his back from tummy time. Cutting teeth. Learning to walk. Learning to talk. That's how he came. Should not neglect the understanding that aside from the fact that he was immaculately conceived as a child of the Holy Ghost and that he was without sin, we need to understand he came into this world just like you and I. Made in the likeness of men. In the womb of Mary. Mitotically dividing again and again, trillions of times, the fetus begins to develop, and sometimes it escapes us. That Almighty God, while he did not divest himself of his eternal power, of his omnipotence, of his omniscience, while he was still God, he was still in the form of God, he was also in the form servant. Fully God and fully man. It's wrapping made in the likeness of men, decorated with no reputation and taking on only the form of a servant was, in my opinion, the greatest gift wrap of all. It could have come with such pomp and popularity and prestige. He could have even come as a fully grown, fully functional man. But he came as a baby. He came, if you will, homeless. He came, as you will, rejected. In the lowliest of states, that's how our Savior came. Made of no reputation. The form of a servant made in the likeness of men. It is the greatest gift wrap of all. So essential is this understanding, so fundamental is this foundational truth that John said in 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. He was made, the Bible said, in the likeness of men. The Savior of the world, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah, you said all these things about him, but he came with no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Why? Why would he do that? Wouldn't it have just been easier to reveal himself to the world and have them bow down and worship him? Why keep these things covered? Why even tell people, many of them, after he healed them, why tell them, go and tell no man? This Jesus, this man was so unique. He was so special. So different and yet so much the same. Why? Why would you not just reveal yourself to the world? His own brothers ask him, hey, just show everybody. If that's who you claim to be, then just show everybody. Just reveal yourself.
Peter, James, and John got to see the paper peeled back a little. They got to see what was under the wrapping that was made in the likeness of men. They got to see what was under that was decorated with no reputation. They got to see what was beneath the surface of only that which took on the form of a servant. They got to see it. There on the mountain we call the mountain of transfiguration, God pulls back the paper just a little bit. And Jesus is standing there talking with Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, revealing that he is the fulfillment of both. And the Bible says his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. A bright cloud appears above him. And from the cloud a voice booms, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Peter, James, and John, the Bible says, fall on their faces, sore afraid. And Jesus comes over and touches him and says, "Not afraid. It's just me. It's just this one that you've known and you've walked with and you talked with, the one who made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I know you got to see beneath the wrapping a little bit. You got to see the paper peeled back a little bit, and it astounded you, and you fell upon your face and you were so afraid, but don't be afraid." Then he says this, "Tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Speaking of his death, where we read Philippians 2:8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So humbling and humiliating was his death that he was the absolute epitome of the words of Job, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." It was only when Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes at his birth that his nakedness was covered. And it was only when Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him in fine linen cloth that his nakedness was covered upon his death. Think about it. Made in the likeness of men and made of no reputation, he took upon him only the form of a servant. Here it is. Greatest wrapping of all. For the master of all came as a servant of all. Luke 22:27 records the words of Jesus, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth in meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth in meat, but I am come, or I am among you as he that serveth." Came as a servant. Mark 10:44-45, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest rather shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Yeah, I'll say it again. The master of all came to serve all and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was made in the likeness of men, made of no reputation, taking on only the form of a servant, and it was the greatest gift wrapping ever. So what does that do? What does that? How does that apply to me, Pastor? Why? Oh, I understand the symbology, and it's special. And yes, I now maybe there's a greater grasp and understanding of what it was that Jesus did for us and how he came. And it's so special and so significant. But how does that really apply to me? How can I take these words and this understanding, and how can I use it in my own life? I'm glad you asked. You See, we can be a great gift to all those around us if we follow the wrapping procedure of Philippians chapter 2. If you and I will symbolically wrap ourselves and enrobe ourselves in the things that this mind would be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, that we would, as He did, try. Why would we make ourselves of any reputation when the King of Glory, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would come as a lowly baby? Why would any one of us ever seek to escalate or achieve anything in our own lives when the Creator and Master of all came as He did? What would be the point? Gave all that up, if you will. Humbled Himself. Came as He did in the way that He did. Why in the world would you and I seek to make any reputation for ourselves? I read to you Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. Here's how you wrap. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. We sing the words, and Sister Davis, you are right. They are so full of revelation. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God gave us salvation at blessed Christmas morn. If we could have that same mind, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But if we can focus on these things, seek to make ourselves of no reputation, and take upon the form of a servant. We're made in the likeness of men. But if we can, truly, not desire to make anything of ourselves, to esteem others better than our own, to look on to the needs of others, to make ourselves of no reputation, and only take on the form of a servant. We are wrapped in the greatest wrapping of all. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. We say it somewhat cliche. The greatest gift you can give anybody is yourself. It's true. The greatest gift I can give my wife is to serve her and to love her. It's the Bible encourages me to do. The greatest gift I can give my children is to love and to serve them. Not seeking my own. God is love, and one of the examples of love that Paul gives is love seeks not her own. If I can give myself, serving others, then I am wrapped in the greatest gift wrap of all, the form of a servant. Lord, help us understand the significance. Help us. Lord, let me aspire to be nothing more than a servant. Let me seek nothing more than to serve others, God. to be like you, Jesus. To be like you. These altars are open. Whether it's here around the front or whether it's there at your pew, why don't we take some time before our classes return and going to go into the next session. Why don't we spend some time, first of all, thanking God for the greatest gift wrap of all. And then asking Him to help us take upon only the form of a servant. Let me seek no reputation for myself. God, let me only seek to be a witness of your love.
See you.